Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast with me, Julia Davis.
And me, Tessa Vanity Sanderson.
We are delighted that you are joining us here for Season 4.
Our book, Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles, is 1 year old. And people have been in touch from Mexico, the US, New Zealand, Brazil, Belgium, and of course the UK.
We are so excited that you are here with us today, and you can find us at circleholding.org.
So, welcome to today's episode. We are talking about the highlights of Series 4. I cannot believe that we're 50-something episodes into the Circle Holding podcast. Julia, what's been a highlight for you?
I was really surprised by my interview with Galia, because I knew Galia as a journalist and as somebody who has held space for writing circles. So I really assumed when we began our conversation that we would kind of dive into creation and creativity and what it feels like to write and the vulnerability of being a writer. And I know she's got a huge amount of skills in that area, and we did get to that. But I started with a story that she hasn't told before. She had to go back into her mind and think, oh my goodness, I've never actually spoken to somebody about the work that I did. And actually what I got out of that session was how important it is to hold space in a particular way for people who've experienced trauma. And that when you come into a space with people who have experienced that level of challenge, in a space that's created for them, they are going to go there and they're going to go to that place. And how do you hold it? And another thing that came out of that I really found heartwarming was how important those stories felt. And that when we're bearing witness to stories that don't normally get to be heard, is there a way that we can perpetuate those stories, ensure that those stories are maybe heard outside of circle in some way? And that was interesting as a regret that Galia had, because she'd done such amazing work as a volunteer with these women. And yet she looked back thinking how profound those stories were that came out. And her regret was that we can't bear witness to that now, that there isn't a legacy that's come out of those stories.
That's so interesting. And it makes me also think about Claire's episode, because she was also talking about writing. And she did talk about how it's developed over time. And just very recently, it might even be after the episode was recorded, she said that she's hoping to bring the writing, the poems together into a book, which would kind of record, and that there would be that legacy. So it's so interesting that there's that thread running through. And I think from hers, what I just loved, for somebody who maybe is newer to circle facilitation, is that she brought her ideas from quite different places. Like, one thing I discovered about her that I'd never known before was that she'd done burlesque, and the way of witnessing had come from there. And it's so beautiful, because it's rather than it being a critique of what somebody has just written, which might be very raw and tender, if you speak about how those words have touched you or how it's met a need in you, it really helps to give fire to the creative process. It's not a shutting down, but validates that you have something important to say. So I really appreciated the way that she'd sort of taken these different threads and thought, I'm not sure if this is going to work or not, but let's have a go. And I thought that was really empowering for somebody who's maybe got a little bit of an idea. I would say too, give it a go, because if you can find that thing that you're really passionate about, that passion will spread out. And Claire has done that so beautifully with her Joy-Led Collective.
Yeah, and one of the things that I come back to time and again is the value of bearing witness and listening and noticing what it does for me. And actually, that's made me think about our most recent circle. And a couple of people said, oh, is it okay for me to bring my anger or my not okayness into the space? And I said, yes, because we're holding this space in circle. We know what our guidelines are for this space. No one is that no one had a go at anybody else. No one told anybody else off. People held really, really different views, opinions, personal experience. And it was challenging to be there, but there was no conflict. There really was no conflict in that space. And that was all about bearing witness. And I think that was one of the major things I got out of your interview with Claire was each time she came back to that idea of bearing witness, that idea of we don't need to critique these poems. We don't need to tell anyone. I mean, she didn't even mention the form of the poem or the way the poems were written. That wasn't what the thing was. The thing was like how your poem has touched my heart is. And I thought that was really beautiful.
And it also reminds me of the conversation I had with Natalie about breath work and creating safety through presence, because she was talking about how, particularly if you're using circle as part of a training, you want people to feel like they can fully explore. In this case, breath work, but it could be anything else that you're training around. Before they go and work with other people, it's really important to have that witnessing of where you're at in your life, where you're at with what you're learning, because otherwise, are there many other spaces where that could happen? I just loved the way she kind of slowed everything down. I listened back to it afterwards and it had this calming effect on me. Just this kind of her pace was slower and you could see how she would track. I really got a sense of her as a facilitator in the way that we were speaking. Yeah, very powerful. Because she was talking about, in the first ever day that she might have a training, that it can feel quite slow to people. But when you start to unpack it, they realize, oh gosh, there are these depths and these layers, and we need space for that. We can't rush through this process. And I think that's something we can take into any circle. We can feel like as a facilitator, we want to pack so much value into it. And I think it is important to plan and have the structure. But sometimes we also need to leave space, or we kind of think, oh, we're not going to have time for that. And we push it, we can think we'll come back to that to another time, because we need time to see how it's landing for people. We need time for integrating what's happened in the circle. So it's a balance between structure and spaciousness.
Yeah, I think that reminds me of my interview with Kobe, because what Kobe wanted to do was bring a richness to her retreat experiences. She felt that what would help that would be circle. And really, what she was saying around the circle is that those circles are spaces for the pause. So, yes, you've got the yoga practice. Yes, you've got the whatever else is going on in the retreat, but to bring everyone together to create space for each other in a different way makes that experience so much richer. And I loved speaking to Kobe because she's somebody who's got experience in one area. I think that was the same with Claire, actually. There's a real similarity between Claire and Kobe is that they kind of knew they had the tools, but they didn't know how they had the tools. They couldn't kind of pick out what it was that was stopping them from creating the circle. I think both of them had this. I want to do this, but I'm not quite sure how. And it's interesting because both of them went on to train with us and did the fundamentals, and then Kobe went on to do other things with us. And it was really to give her confidence and that experience of circle that allowed her to go, ah, I do have these skills. I'm using them in all these different ways. But what I need to do is be much more intentional about how I hold the space. We are just going to take a short break from this episode to tell you about two trainings that work well if you want to build your confidence as a circle facilitator.
There's the introductory workshop, Circle Fundamentals, and there's a self-study course that you can do in your own time. You can find all the details in the show notes. Now back to the episode. I think it's so valuable to have some time where, you know, if somebody is already, like you say, doing different things where they have different skills they could bring into a circle space, but to have some dedicated time. So in the Circle Fundamentals, usually about 3 hours or so, to plan in a way, because as you go through the different components and you can think about the size of groups and how much time you would need for a talking circle, I think it starts to crystallize in people's minds. So, you know, or equally, if somebody's completely new, they just thought, this is what our community needs, to take you through the different components and the arc of a circle is just tremendously helpful for feeling the confidence that this is something I can actually bring to build connection. It's doable, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think once you become more skilled, so you interviewed Jules, and Jules has got a huge amount of experience over decades and grounded at her work years ago in circle. And over the years, she's become experienced enough to hold really different people with really different needs in her circle. So do you want to talk a little bit about what you loved about her holding space for people with neurodivergence? I think it was really fascinating.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I contacted her, because on Facebook she's been very vocal about her journey with neurodivergence and, you know, working out for herself what superpowers that gives her as a circle facilitator, but then also recognizing the challenges and how to communicate those so that she's managing people's expectations. And she says in the episode, it might mean that some people will think, oh, she's not right for me. But to be honest, I think she's such a great facilitator. I think she could make things work for everybody. Because it's having that awareness, isn't it? It's having an awareness of difference and being interested in and being curious about how can I make a space comfortable when there's different ways that people become comfortable in a space. So whether it's kind of physical things or psychological factors, I think the starting point is curiosity. I really recommend people have a listen to that, because I found it fascinating hearing her journey of unraveling kind of how it had affected her circle facilitation in ways that she hadn't thought about for sort of 20, 25 years. And then she'd had this sort of, you know, big realization. And as she opened up about it, had so many people say, yeah, that's what I'm struggling with. Or, you know, thank you for bringing this out into the light. So very powerful episode.
And then there's been our little episodes. And one which just makes me smile is the crafty one. So we're going to spend the first half of our circle playing around with masks with different colour pens and what we show to the world and what we hide from the world. So I've got someone who's sharing her drama talents. I'm not quite sure exactly what she's going to do with those, but I shared that theme with her. I experiment with my circles now. I like to see what might happen. But I think one of the things that has encouraged me more to look at that is the fact that you do so much work with arts and crafts. And I'm thinking, well, how can I be a little bit brave and bring it in a way that feels safe enough and comfortable enough for me?
That's so exciting. I can't wait to see. I do love at the end of a circle, if everybody's happy to put their crafts, whatever they've made during the session, in the middle and take a photo, because it's a real manifestation of that time together, which often is intangible. And you can speak about the joys of being together and the connection. But it is quite nice sometimes to have a photo that documents the creativity that happens.
Yeah, and I think if you're listening to our podcast and you're thinking, actually, I'd like to do X, or my issue is this, we have started to create really specific episodes. So it's worth having a look through and thinking, ah, that's what I'm most concerned about, or that's the thing that I want to learn more about.
And I would love to hear from people if there's something that, you know, perhaps you are running a circle and there's a sort of edgy issue that you'd like us to talk about, do get in touch. The email address is in the show notes, and perhaps we could do an episode and help you figure it out.
I loved going back to the book. That's something else that we did this season. It's quite a long time since we read the book, and it was lovely just reading back some of our personal stories that we shared in the book. Thank you for joining us for this season of the Circle Holding podcast.
Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Circle Holding podcast. I've been Tessa Venuti Sanderson.
And I've been Julia Davis. We would love for you to rate and review this podcast. A 5-star rating means more people will find us.
We're the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
Thank you for joining us today.
You can find our trainings at circleholding.org. We hope that you find a community where you can be authentically you very soon.